when you realize, or do you know when you realize he's all you need? A lot of times, unfortunately, when he's all you have. And it's not all wonder and glory when he's all you have. It's many times a low place. And the next time you realize that he's all you need is when you get what you were wanting when he was all you had, and you realize, you look back there and say, there was something sweet about when he was all I had. Take our Bibles, turn to John chapter 1 this morning. I'm excited this morning about the Bible. Do you love Jesus today? Amen. Amen. If you don't, he loves you. You can. John chapter 1, verse 37. Let's pray together first. Father, thank you for your word again. Thank you for the songs of Zion. Thank you for the old songs. Thank you for the church, the Bible, the Holy Spirit. Lord, you just daily load us with benefits. And Lord, like that song just said, you are all we need. Lord, we got so much more than we need, and for that we thank you today. But thank you that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. God, bless your word here this morning. Encourage, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering as your spirit sees fit. Put me aside and put you up front, Lord, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 35. And the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. John said that. And the two disciples heard him, John, speak, and they followed Jesus. So we're going to, it's been a couple weeks. We had a great time with Brother Fuller last week, did we not? But we started to answer the question, how does the New Testament believer follow Jesus Christ in the church age? It's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to follow Jesus Christ. I believe you can be saved and not be a Christian. I believe you can be saved and not be a disciple, because being a Christian is noticed by others, and being a disciple is someone that follows Jesus Christ. See, there's no longer a physical Jesus to follow, to walk behind, to sup with and learn from. But we found last time, if you recall, that God has an even further reaching plan in the New Testament during the church age. Because now, at the time of Jesus, it was one, God in one body leading. But we learned that now, oh boy, now, bear with me 1 minute. The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. As he was with the apostles, he could be physically followed because he was with them. But now, not only is he with us, but he is in us. So the work of the ministry in our day through the Holy Spirit of God can be more than in one place at one time the way it was when Jesus Christ was here. So it's the Holy Spirit is not only with us, but he's in us. And then he would put these believers spiritually, he would baptize them all into one body, one spiritual body. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And then he would take them and he would gather them into assemblies that we call the local church. He would call this church the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so we find, if I'm going to follow Jesus in the New Testament church age in which we live, my following must revolve around his church, his local church. Earthly ministry of Christ, the God indwelling the body of one man. Church age, God by his Spirit indwelling the body of every believer. In assemblies all over the planet. That's amazing. You talk about the World Wide Web. If the Christians in Zambia and the Christians in Romania and the Christians in Sri Lanka and the Christians in Canada and the Christians in the United States, if they all obey the commission to reach their Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other posts, man, you talk about a web. And Jesus gave a pretty good promise to that church. His church. Here's what he said, in light of the song we just heard, that the gates of hell would not prevail against it, much as they might try. I got an email this week from New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom. That is your Christian voice on a political level, if you will. And this is what, you remember our man we had here last year. Here's what he said. There is a very real conversation occurring around more COVID mandates, legalizing assisted suicide, and legalizing prostitution with paid sick leave in our state. Our organization will be in the thick of the legislative fight against each of these. And you know what, church? Those things very well could come to pass, probably will. But let me tell you, when it's all said and done, the church and the Word of God is still going to stand. And that's a blessed promise in the world state of affairs. Listen, if Nero could, this governor we have now makes Cuomo look like a conservative. She's wicked. Wicked. She's wicked. Legalize prostitution and give paid sick leave and say, I'm the apostle of God. Don't get me going. Okay, let me get back to this. We have, listen. If the church couldn't be obliterated under Nero and under those popes in the dark ages where they scourged and they burned and they drowned our forefathers, it's not going to stop now. They could come in here and burn this place to the ground with everyone in it singing, and in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll just be up there singing. I'm telling you, in the end, we win. Don't be scared. It's getting closer. So we have the framing of what it is to follow by the Holy Spirit through the church. But now today I want to put some finished details and logistics. And I want to look not just at the forest of the church, but I want to look at the trees. Let me start by saying this. God is a gift giver. Coming up on gift giving season. You say, I don't believe in that. Give me your gift. I'll take it. First of all, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You do not earn salvation. You do not pay for salvation. Sammy preached a great message last Wednesday. Have you opened the package? It's all you got to do is receive the gift. If you receive the gift and say, now give me $20, it's not a gift. Is that pretty simple? God's a gift giver. And then if that weren't enough, he talks in scores of passages about the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not only was the salvation in his Son a gift, but the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm trying to talk as fast as Stephen did today. Ephesians chapter 4. It's good, Stephen. It's good. He wanted to get it all in. I know the feeling. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore he says, he's always given these gifts. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Go to verse 11. Let's see what he gave. He gave some apostles. That's for the church. Some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Let me ask you, have you received the gift? Have you received the gift of salvation? Obviously, if you're saved, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what is your gift? You know how people know what your gift are? You use it. Just about every ladder. I've never paid for a ladder in my life. I get them at the curb. And it's dangerous, and I'm 60 now, and it's just dangerous. I mean, one of the feet is down, and one of them is stuck like this, bent in a little. And I broke down the other day, and I got myself a gift, a gorilla ladder. Like it's better than the little giant. I researched it. Pastor Folk taught me to research things. You say, what are you going to do with it? I'm going to use it. Are you using your salvation? Do you know what your gift is? Yes. Are you using it? I've watched over the years folks be gifted. Some of our most gifted preachers in this pulpit are using it for the world today. It's heartbreaking. What is it? If it's heartbreaking for me, what's it got to be for God?
Someone said, what do you think? You're God's gift to the church?
Yep. And I think you are too. It's exactly what we are. So he gives the gift of eternal life. He gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he gives gifts unto the men to be exercised through the local church in his order. It's a great plan. He didn't call us to be renegades out on our own. We need each other.
I don't need anybody.
Your day's coming. Now, but his plan all hinges on something. I want you to get 2 Samuel 15, 15. 2 Samuel 15, 1 Samuel 25. 2 Samuel 15, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And I know some of you are going to judge me for using it. That's okay. Sam 15, 15. Oh, David's got some mighty men. David's got some loyal men. Verse 13, he's in a mess. Like we're in a mess. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, and arise and let us flee, for we shall not escape from New York. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. That's one attitude towards God's order in the home, order in the church, order in your business, or 1 Samuel 25. There's another attitude, and I'll say it probably too many times, leadership is only as successful as fellowship. Spiritual, committed leadership will only go as far as spiritual, committed fellowship. Here's the other attitude. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away from. That's the same man in the same mess. One bunch of loyal warriors say, tell us what to do it. Let lead the battle and we'll follow. And the other guy says, who is he? Now go to 1 Corinthians 4. It's hard to preach this, because I think of what I'd be thinking if somebody was preaching it to me. But it's the Bible, and we love the Bible, and we say amen when the preacher says we love the Bible. Amen. Okay. 1 Corinthians 4:16. I'll teach you that in a few years. Wherefore I beseech you, 1 Corinthians 4:16, be ye followers of me. For this cause I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful Lord, who shall bring unto you remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Who is me? Me is a man in the text. Me is Paul in the text. A gifted man, I might add. A gifted man that would teach other men and lay hands on men and send men into the harvest field, and those men would win souls, and they would form churches, and they would teach leadership, and they would lay out leadership, and that assembly under God's design would discipline the flock and lead the flock and lead in worship and have logistical strategy to fulfill the Great Commission to be a lighthouse in a community, a called out assembly of physical bodies that indwells a spiritual body that one day would be called up out of this world. I'm telling you, it's a great plan, but it all hinges on the faithfulness and the loyalty of the followers. Somebody has to be in charge of your home, of your work, of your country. Thank God we got representative. Thank God we get a voice. A lot of places don't have a voice. And the more spiritual the leadership and the more spiritual the fellowship, the better the success of the work of God. That's how we follow Him today. Any organization, any nation, any military, any family, any home needs leadership. And the better the leadership, the better the business. But it all hinges on the fellowship. In the Bible... Now, you're going to have to turn off your news right now because this is going to be contrary to news, to what you learn at your secular universities, to what you learn at most churches. But in the Bible, the priests were men. The prophets, exception would prove the rule, were men. The judges, exception would prove the rule, were men. The apostles were men. In fact, you know what Isaiah, he said? He said, the sign of a nation swirling the drain, women would rule over them, and children would be their oppressors. How's that for a prophecy 2,700 years ago? They're more afraid of the children than anybody. You wonder why they want to get rid of that book. Sounds like you're anti-woman. No, that's because you get your theology from the news and from your university professor. And if you don't believe they want to get rid of that book, ask them. If they don't want to get rid of truth that God puts forth, I'm too old to care anymore. But if we can find some good, godly men in an institution that God said even the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against, we can shine in the dark hour in which we live. But it's not enough, because leadership can only go as far as the fellowship. Be it a husband, be it a father, be it an employer, be it a pastor, be it a king. And a manifestation of a home or a church or a nation swirling the drain, worse than ungodly leadership is ungodly fellowship. Now think about this for a minute. Might be a stretch. But if the president and our civil leaders were to stand up and come to the place that say, we have sinned. We've tried everything. And we have come to the place that just for the historical record, no faith about it, we've decided to at least try something to prevent this violence and this killing in this everyday fighting in our schools, we're going to put the Ten Commandments up. You'd have 1,000 lawsuits tomorrow. And if you don't believe it, just go ask them. In too many cases, not here, I'm getting to the good part. Let me preempt something. You yous are great. So chill out. I'm not railing on you this morning. I'm just talking about the big picture. I'm gonna pat you on the back in a minute, but if a Christian husband or dad came under Holy Ghost conviction to make some radical changes in the house or move churches, you might have a civil war that would make that real civil war look like a Sunday school picnic. I could name 10 pastors right now who can't even get out of the gate to get something done for God, and not one of them has split their church over the doctrine of the deity of Christ. See, you know what's difficult for fellowship? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I can follow Jesus, but we're talking about how you follow Jesus. And in this age, let me give you a hint, ladies. You probably, especially Mrs. McCracken, she doesn't realize it. Your husbands are sinners. Wasn't that right? She goes, wow, he is. Donna, too. Nikki's not here today. Don't ask her. It'd be the first amen she ever said in church. I can follow the perfect man, but you want me to follow him? The husband, the pastor, the boss? You know what Paul said? He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So what we do is, as the man follows God, we follow him. As the man who's following a God who we can't see, but we can follow the man who we can see. Now, does that negate your walk with God? No, we're not talking about Rome. We're not talking about, I am the God man. I am the one mediator between God and man, me. No. You follow Christ in your personal walk. What we're talking about does not negate that. This concerns the work of God in its entirety. He said, you for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Listen, it's real simple. When the man of God ceases following God, you cease to follow him. Now, if you're married, that brings problems. If it's the pastor and he's reading from the Quran, just bow out and leave. Don't kill him. Don't cut off his skirt. Just go find someone you can follow. And you know what I'm glad to say? We've made logistical decisions over the history of this church, and for the most part, I can't think of a person that I could see and give a Christian greeting to. If you're going to leave, leave right. But if you're on your fifth church in 3 years, you might want to look in the mirror. Who was it? I don't know, whoever that guy that had 100 wives or something. He said to the last one, I won't keep you long. In 35 years, I don't know of a church that split over the doctrine of the deity of Christ. I do know a group that split over the width of suspenders. I spoke to a man that was in that church. I do know a church that about split over a pastor that replaced the decaying doors on the front of the church without a congregational vote. I do know churches that have split over a pastor's wife being more like the pastor than the pastor. Building programs are a great opportunity to split a church. Those guys said to David, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall command. And the leadership is limited by the faith and the commitment of the fellowship. And I know what your flesh is thinking, the same thing mine thinks. Well, you just want us to blindly follow? It used to be you got divorced for one reason. because it kind of mirrors each other. And I'm not, you that have been divorced or remarried, I'm not talking about that. But it used to be basically one reason. Then it kind of got to be more reason. Now it's just irreconcilable differences. And you know what? The church mirrors the same thing. Irreconcilable differences. You put another water fountain in, and you didn't even take a church vote. I'm glad it's not like that here. You know, you can tell I'm glad. I'm still here. Listen, we're talking about the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. You have to have loyal, envisioned, faithful leadership, but it can only go as far as the fellowship. He said to the Thessalonians, "Ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction." See, that's what you don't get when you're a renegade. When the affliction comes, when the conflict comes, God wants us to get together. We got darkness going on outside. We got affliction coming, going on outside. You know what we heard this morning? We're going to win! And we can go out and make it another week. How do I follow God? You follow God by the Holy Spirit through your local church and the gifted man or men leading the charge, and you add your gift in there as well, and you got order and power and unity and testimony and longevity. It's worked up to now. And for the most part, in 28 years, the fellowship in this church has been tremendous. See, we don't have a school that says, if you're in this school, you're in the choir. That's volunteer. We don't have a school where, you know what, if you're going to get your Bachelor of Divinity, you're going to be on that street yesterday. I must be getting old because it was 42 and I was frozen. I shut it down 5 minutes early. 20 soldiers out there. Nobody up here banging, you got to be out there in public ministry, you're ungodly. That excites me. That's a blessing. That's faithful fellowship. I talked about a building project, and I know I've told this story before, but when we presented, I don't know how many years ago now, this building, which we thought was the will of God, and I'm cheap enough and skeert enough and unfaithful enough to not just figure that this was God wanted, I wanted to see it on paper. My paper. And I figured it. I didn't sleep for weeks and weeks. My wife calls it builder's insomnia. And a smart man, way smarter than me, and came up and said when we presented that, and we basically, for you that weren't here, we said we can build this building for $450,000. And this person came and said, there is no way you're going to build a 13,000 square foot building for $500,000. But you know what they followed it up with? I'll paraphrase, but thy servant is ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. And that guy ended up being one of the biggest contributors, not only financially, but in the work. A lot of his work is around here. Let me put a commercial in right now. 2 Sam 15:15. Yeah, we're going to be out singing at Trinity in a couple weeks. I'd really like to get 40. That's your cue. That's your cue. What? Soldiers want to fight. I remember that first Gulf War, though, they were filming those guys when they were, and he said, let's get it on. They said, let's go. Now, side note here. I'm not spiritual in saying I'm not big on watching movies. I wasn't before I was saved. They can't hold my attention. You say, I don't believe in watching movies. Okay, we just did away with about six of you. But for the rest of you, and I'm not talking about right movies, wrong. This is just me, because I have a very short attention. And when I watch movies for entertainment, it's like there's cameras there. I can't get that thought out of my mind. And what makes it worse is you go on YouTube and you say, set of Star Wars. I mean, okay, here's a movie I watched. But this is my thing. I like movies based on a true story. Unbroken. Louis Zamperini, right? You know the story. Most of you wrote the book. Oh, man. Now, it wasn't as good as the book, but it'll fire you up to serve God. And then I go on YouTube and I watch the set, Sherry. And like, here's the plane. It's like a thing this long. It's in a room like this. And I can't get it out of my mind. But once in a while, something comes along. Historical fiction. Kind of like based on a true story. Hey, turn these lights off because we really got to get the impact here. Now, I'm just going to tell you right now, there is one scene, there's not here. There's no swearing, there's no nakedness, there's one scene that there's a bunch of drunken sailors that we fast forward through, but we watch this series, I'm not even going to say what it is, every year with my grandsons at Christmas time, and it's just awesome. And if you got a problem with it, see Pastor Folk, he's the one that turned me on to it 10 years ago. And I've historical fiction. This is the Royal British Navy. When they were always in conflict with France. And there was some things going on. But I want you to take and just have a little bit of a spiritual mindset and hear what I'm preaching on today. This is going to be the head honcho of the Royal British Navy when he gets news that the French are coming after us. Okay, go ahead, boys. They want to fight. Watch.
God save the king!
Woo! That'll make you want to preach on the street, amen? I know it's turn the lights on. I know it's hard to make the connection. But we're going to go down and help a church on the 12th. Your days of idling are over! We're going to sing in front of Walmart. We're going to ring the bell. We're going to go to a nursing home. You have a mind to fight. God save the king. Yeah, that's what it's about. Now, you ain't going to get that on Star Wars, I'll tell you right now, or this other stuff, but that's your business. If the fellowship is in tune, you got your private walk with God, and you're fired up, and your gift is available to God. You are just waiting for the command. That's His plan. Every pastor should have to turn people away because we got too much help, too much money. But in too many cases, the marshals used to sing it, my house is full, but the field is empty, not here. Now, we have our share of pew warmers, and that's okay. But here's what I think. I'm going to get a little personal now. If you're visiting, bear with us. But the next season of the life of this church, a transition is coming. And in my opinion, it's going to be the true test of what we're talking about here. I think the next 5 years will determine the next 25. And my children and grandchildren are part of it, and I'm going to be part of it, and I want it to succeed. The transition has already started, but it officially starts. In fact, I don't even see Tom Smith in the building today. Tom Smith is the building maintenance man that does the work of 10 men. And I'm not easy given compliments, so that's a lot. It's probably more like 20. It will take 10 men to replace what he does inside and out. But guess what? I haven't lost a minute of sleep for three reasons. Number one, we have a great God. Number two, we have a great plan. Leadership does. And number three, we got faithful followers. There's not a man I've talked to yet. Hey, do you think? Yep. I got guys from other churches. Hey, can you help? Yep. Hallelujah. Transitions will have wrinkles. But I'm telling you, this ship is going to continue to sail. Pastor B, if he were here, he could tell you how many days it is. But in 23 months, you see the cowboy off into the sunset? Well, he's going to be flying into the sunset, literally. And most people, I'm not sure his own wife has any idea of the scope of what that man does. He manages a $750,000 budget. If some of you gave, it would be even more. We've got over 100 missionaries. Those checks need to get written. Insurances, government, those signs, you probably never noticed them that say, Old Paths Bible Baptist Church, this way. We have to pay for those. Somebody has to write the check. Visits and banks and always squeezing out every dime. And you know what? I haven't lost a wink of sleep. Because we have a great God, leadership has a great plan, and we've got faithful followers. Well, I don't follow no man. Well, I'm just speaking from the Bible, then you don't follow God. And where that's the prevailing attitude with a wife, with children in a home, with a church, at best, nothing gets done for God. At worst, I don't even want to go there. It's called shipwreck. And that attitude stems from a view other than God's. And I'm trying to keep this positive. I was thinking about Brother Eric. He's been doing a lot of harvesting. Things went real well this year, and I don't know how long. I don't think it's been long since they got these big things that they have to get to harvest. It's like seeing one of those big, brand-new, well-oiled, shiny harvesters. And those fields just waiting to be harvested. And Eric gets in there, and he gets in that machine. And that machine looks at him and says, you ain't steering me. You're not starting me. I'm going to just sit here. That's a shame. Because you know how much could be done if everyone would give back to God the gift that he gave them through their local church under the authority of godly committed leadership. Powerful, prepared, potential to harvest the field. And the tractor says, I ain't following no man. And you know what I found, unfortunately, in many of those cases? That a man does it. I'm talking about hard-headed men. We all have our, I understand. A lot of times those kids will turn around and say, I ain't following you. And a lot of time that wife will say, I'm not following you. Well, she got to submit to me like you don't. Not talking to you. I'm talking about the crowd out there. All these poor churches. Okay. Finish the verse. Jesus Christ the same. See what I mean? I'm living a dream. Now, anybody know the address of the passage? Put your hand up. Okay. Anybody know the book? Good. Anybody know the context? Previous verses? Let's go. Hebrews 13. Have a little fun here. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. Our charismatic friends use that to say that the gifts that the apostles had were still in play for today because of that verse. We know better. But here's what's interesting. Hebrews 13, look at verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It's great. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And now look what it says. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's just keep reading. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. You know what I found? The further people get from the church, the further they get from truth. Don't get your truth from YouTube, please. I was telling someone the other night, they were saying, well, I believe this. Where are you getting this? Listen, videos, and everybody has the facts. I said, were you prepared for Y2K? Oh, yeah. I said, I'm still got toilet paper and beans from that. I said, and I believed it so much that if I were to watch the Y2K video from 1999, that everything's going to come, I'd still believe it. Be careful. Get your truth from the pillar and the ground of the truth, the local church. And don't, if you're going to follow, don't split over that stuff. They want to get us. They want to kill us. In the process, they want to kill their grandchildren. They want to kill their own dog. I don't believe that. I want this book. I got enough fighting against me. I better not go down there. Well, let's read. Verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought unto the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, see the charge, therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but seek one that which is to come. By him, we preach this a lot about praising God. Therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise and continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. And then right in the middle of this, but do good, to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. I have to give an account for those that I'm responsible. Everybody thinks, oh, it must be nice to be in charge. Listen, with in charge comes responsibility and accountability. And let me say this, leaders, a Bible leader is not like the Gentile leaders. And this is what I want to leave you with today. It shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. So we've talked about fellowship real quick. Dad, pastor, boss, mom, if that's your situation, you are to be a servant leader. Fallen nature wants you to be a boss. Fallen nature wants you to be a king. Was it Rehoboam? All his buddies told him, yeah, man, lay it down on him hard. No. I talked to a man one time. He was having big family struggles. Most parents that have these kind of issues, they don't see it. Most pastors that have this I'm king problem, they don't see it. But this is what this man, I mean, his family's just falling apart. And this man said to me, I picture Jesus in the home. I'm the king on the throne. And I said, no, you're not. You're a king on the cross. My fatherhood in my home and my shepherd in the church is not a picture of Christ at his second coming. It's a picture and type of Christ at his first coming. Dad, you cook a meal once in a while. You detail the house once in a while. You oil her feet once in a while. You change a diaper once in a while. You tell her to shop. You satisfy her every time. You bless her. Pastor, you get in the trenches. Missionary, you get in the trenches as much as you can. Now, I don't get in the trenches as much as I used to. Number one, we don't have as many trenches. Number two, if I got in the trench, I probably wouldn't be able to get out of the trench. And number three, I'd probably break something and just cause more work. But most of all, listen, you leaders, you preachers, I don't care if it's in a nursing home, messages from young men, teaching at the school, you're going to go back to the mission field. You need to study. And you need to learn the Word of God. And you know what I found for 28 years? Feed the sheep and the sheep will feed you. And if you're a follower, you exercise your gift. Jesus came along and said, hey, follow me. They had a physical Jesus. But how do we do it? How do we follow? We follow through by the Holy Spirit, through the local church, under his leadership. You know what? Next 5 to 6 years here is going to be a transition, and I think the next 5 will determine the next 25. I'll end with this. We're talking about John. John's the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God. And here's what Jesus said about him. He said, born of women, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. He said, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And we could get into all kinds of theological reasons, but there was a centurion that came to Jesus. You know, he's a soldier. You're not worried. My daughter's sick, but I'm not worthy. I think I'm getting the story right for you to come under my roof. I have a man. I'm a man under authority, and I have guys that I say go and they go, and I say come, they come. And he says, I've not found so great faith. Well, how could Jesus say that the least in the kingdom of God is better? You know why? They had a Jesus to follow. We got to follow men, follow leaders, follow mom and dad, follow husband, follow pastor as they follow Christ. And I think God looks at that and said, John the Baptist didn't need faith. He could see me. They can't see me. And yet they follow. I'm excited about what's coming. Are you in? Look past yourself. Look to your kids. It goes fast, believe me. Thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King that I can't see shall appoint through the leadership that I can see. God save the King. Let's stand. Brother Jay, let's sing. Got some old saints.